Castor Oil is a film podcast filled with dubious opinions, plot spoilers, and a healthy sprinkling of bad language. Thanks for listening. Take a bunch of movie and stir in a different cast.
Hello and welcome to Castor Oil. My name is Jim, and each fortnight myself and my two co-hosts, Sam and Nick, take one of cinema's much-loved or unloved films and serve you up a delicious recasting. But before we get into that, don't forget you can find Castor Oil on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever it is that you get your podcast from. And of course, don't forget to like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is you do, so you don't miss the latest episodes. And of course, give us those all-important five-star reviews. Like I said, I am not alone. They are the two veg to my meat. It's Sam and Nick.
Hello.
Sorry, I derailed myself there.
I'll settle for a veg if I can be cauliflower cheese.
Oh. Well, I was trying to go for a dick joke.
Oh, I see.
Meat and two veg.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, did you not get that?
Did you not get the dick joke?
I mean, that's only vaguely paying attention. Okay,
that's what I was going for. Obviously, it fell. Fuck.
That's all right. It's not a big dick joke when you're talking about Jim.
I'll stick to my claim that I'd rather be cauliflower cheese instead of one of your testicles. That's okay.
I want to be the right one.
Okay.
What? Yeah. I just feel like it gets more love.
Yeah. How are we, guys?
Good. I'm very much looking forward to this one. This is a wild.
This is going to be crazy.
So we've got to 10 episodes.
Well,
it's not a huge milestone, but it's still a milestone. We're doing well.
Yeah, we haven't killed each other.
I think statistically we're doing better than a lot of podcasts normally do. I think it's somewhere out there. There's a stat that says around 70% of podcasts don't get to 10 episodes.
I mean, if you don't get to 10, this is going to sound like we're bragging now, but you've got to ask yourself, what were your expectations?
We're going to be like Dermot 11. And we're
famous last words.
I think the thing is, though, I think some people come up with what they think's a good idea, and then they run out of stuff to say after a couple of episodes and realize it's not a good idea.
Oh, do you reckon?
Either that or they're just not having fun with it.
Yeah, I think.
Are you meant to have fun?
Yeah.
Do you not have fun?
Hang on. I thought this was a hard hitting educational piece trying to get you to understand why Fast and the Furious isn't good.
Well, that's never going
to
happen.
Oh, God. Someone asked me today, actually, like you and Jim always seem to be like at loggerheads, and I was like, well, I don't know how to explain it. Like, he just doesn't like good films. Like, I don't know how to say it.
And I shoot back and say, they're good. They have their merits.
I do feel like people will get it. It's almost like we should mail you around. So admit to door visits, because we're literally within a couple of minutes of conversing with you, people will be like,
It's not for that.
Get it.
I think the reason that for me this is working quite nicely is I think there's probably a group of us in every single pub or cinema or living room or like in the world. Group of friends that have got like that one guy that thinks he knows about cinema, that one guy that like likes those like Asian horror films that no fucker's seen, and then the one guy that's like, actually, I think Vin Diesel's underrated.
I mean,
it's a crime that he's not won an Oscar, that's what I'm saying.
Having said that, one thing that continues to impress me, Jim, is that you quite often refuse to be pigeonholed. Just when we think we've got you stereotyped, you'll bust that with like, yeah, but I tell you what, lads, Moana, Frozen.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the live action Wicked. Are you?
Look, I've got to keep you guys on your toes, all right?
Yeah, that's a good point to do.
Just when you think you've got me nailed down, it's like, nope, curveball.
Just when I thought I got out, you pull me back in.
Just throw that curveball at you and you're just, whoa! I actually want to throw out a massive thank you to the guys over at the Movie Chef podcast who very recently had us on to do a special quiz episode with them. Not going to give any spoilers out, but you know, it was a very, very fun episode. Not necessarily just under an hour of your time, so go out of the way to give them, those guys, a listen, give them your support, because they're a couple of great lads. Really happy for, glad they, you know, they had us on. It was our first ever, you know, guest spot. I think we enjoyed it, didn't we, guys?
Yeah, it was really good.
I mean, I'd have liked to have changed the results. You know why he's plugging this, don't
you? I'm surprised by the results.
You know what? It was a good laugh.
We didn't cover ourselves in glory, did we? Isn't that such a gross saying?
Cover yourselves in glory.
I think I did.
Well, I mean, yeah, you...
I think I went home and covered myself in glory.
That is a tasty answer, right?
It doesn't surprise me because you were so fucking self-satisfied at the end of that.
Yeah.
It was oppressive being in a car with you on the way home.
Again, no spoilers, heavy spoilers. I think with the results, everyone else just covered themselves in
shame.
But yeah, massive thank you to the Movie Chef guys. That was a lot of fun. Yeah,
it really was. Thank you very much. So, you asked me what have I been watching? So, I've actually watched a few films. So I watched Dune Part 1.
Nice.
Dune. I thought you said Dune.
In my head, I was like, is there a Dune Part 2?
How would you pronounce it?
Dune.
Really? Not Dune?
No.
Dune. It's Dune, surely.
It's not Sand Dunes.
Fucking is. It's spelled the same.
No, as in you don't pronounce it Sand Dune. You pronounce it Sand Dune.
Yeah, we both thought you said Dune. We both weren't surprised.
Yeah. I
clearly said Dune. But okay.
Well, Dune
Part 1.
Dune might be a good recasting because that film is.
I'm not. I don't. Show. I can't put myself through that again. Anyway.
You know what? I'll give you credit for the attempted to film an entire
first person
scene in first person. Yeah. And I'll give them credit for thinking, do you know what? We're doing a video game.
And Carl Urban is fucking brilliant in everything.
Urban?
Yeah.
Urban, surely.
I'm not getting involved in this one. It was quite funny, Carl Urban. I feel like we're all leaving now anyway, because a few episodes back I said, like, Jacqueline
Phoenix.
Jacqueline Phoenix. Jackie P.
And you've also struggled with Takagi.
Yeah,
I believe you also...
Timothy?
You struggled with Chalamet.
Because he's told me this, he's fine with Timmy.
Yeah.
He's good with that, isn't he? That's fine.
Timmy.
So, yeah, back to what I was watching. Yeah, so Dune Part 1, I've watched that.
Yeah.
I need to rewatch it.
Anything else from you?
Yeah, so I've also rewatched Despicable Me 3 with my lad over the weekend.
Nice.
And we also watched Wish, one of the latest Disney films.
Oh, I quite liked Wish.
Stunning.
I
absolutely gorgeous. But anyway, yeah, so what about you two then? What have you been watching? Is that anything?
Do you know what? I watched while doing some other stuff, I watched Battle for Los Angeles, which is kind of like a really run of the mill kind of, you know, aliens attack disaster trying to be Independence Day kind of thing.
Mm.
It's fine. It's all right. And then recently I did watch Damsel, which came out on Netflix, which is the new Millie Bobby Brown one.
Yeah.
I really liked it, actually. I kind of pitched it as something that we maybe...
I mean, there's a lot of mixed response to that online.
I haven't... Like, if there's a film that I think is quite interesting, I try not to look at any of the opinions before I watch it.
Yeah, fair enough. Form your own, don't you?
And It definitely isn't great. Like, it's not amazing or anything.
It's a film, not a series.
It's a film. Yeah. It's a film. It's basically... Do you know what the problem is with it? Is the trailer fucking ruined it.
I watched the trailer and me and my wife have like, seen that now.
Exactly. The trailer shows you everything. Mm. So at the start of the film, the whole first half hour, where they're trying to set up, is something dodgy going to happen? Well, yeah, it is, because you see it in the fucking trailer.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so weird.
So frustrating.
But I can't think of anything that I didn't enjoy about it. It's a really interesting portrayal of a dragon.
Mm.
Like, I think, like, up there with kind of Smaug. Mm. Like, it really interesting. Like, really fun.
Just so we're clear, that's your one and only Lord of the Rings reference that you're in.
Never agreed to that.
Yeah, it's in there. One per episode.
Technically, that's the whole
thing. Hang on, we're allowing in one per episode. are we not trimming him back a lot more than your blunt card is every five episodes?
There's no way he lasts that long.
Technically, that's the Hobbit. So
Any Tolkien.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
You're done.
I'm not allowed to talk about the Silmarillion because I haven't got the right. Yeah, so...
I mean, you can talk about The Rings of Power, because that's apparently dog shit, so...
See, I didn't hate The Rings of Power, actually. I could do a whole episode on why everyone's been a bit too harsh on that as well. But anyway, I digress.
Maybe you want to tune into that one. You can find it nowhere.
If you do want me to do a whole...
Did you not know that's what we're doing next week? We're watching all 10 episodes.
To be fair,
I'd rather do the second part of Rebel Moon.
I
oh, well, good news.
There are 100 reasons why The Rings of Power, it does better than Rebel Moon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not possible.
It tries to be faithful. Anyway, yeah, Millie Bobby Brown's good. I know a lot of people kind of are a bit meh on her, but I think she does it well, actually. Yeah, I liked it. I really enjoyed it. So I'd be interested for you guys to watch it and let me know what you think.
Nice.
And that's kind of it, really. I've been busy with other stuff. And I've not watched a film for this week's. Because that wouldn't help.
Just quickly, we've been binging a lot of like the true crime stuff on Netflix. Big fan of a crime or like a cult kind of documentary. So we watched.
I think Netflix have got a good selection there. They're pretty good for that.
Loads. Yeah, there's some better than others, but a few. So I've done almost all of the Octopus Murders. I think it is. I mean, that gets like really sort of. It's definitely Octopus-y.
Eight-part series, is it?
It's a three-part, I think. Oh, but I think it's a little bit... I've got to end of part two. A little bit exhausting. I need to sort of power through that. But we did watch, and we just couldn't stop until we finished it, The Programme, which is an unbelievable documentary. It's really good. No doubt we'll be in for some awards, I think. And it's about these... Not even that long ago, like 15... It's still happening now, actually. It's like these crazy American boarding schools for troubled teens... And it's like this also like this worldwide program that this family set up. And like they basically offer to like come and kidnap your troubled teen for you, put them into this boarding school, which is like worse than prison. Like people are treated horrendously. There's all these kind of like brainwashing activities. And it's basically survivors from that program, like revisit and gather loads of evidence and basically expose like everything that happened. Yeah, I would thoroughly recommend
that.
Yeah, it's absolutely Netflix.
Sounds like a watch. Sounds like one that's going to send you to bed very depressed.
Do you know what? Funnily enough, there's some of those on Netflix. Some of them with really hard hitting content. You are left like, obviously, because it's so hard hitting. It is like, a lot to sit through. But weirdly, with this one, I think a lot of it is because of the lady that directs it is kind of one of the focal points who went through the program.
Okay.
And this is also her kind of way of like dealing with it as well, with a group of friends.
So the director is a victim of the program, is she?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. She's amazing in this. And
a unique spin on things, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's got a brilliant character. She's very quirky. She's very energetic. So almost like her energy prevents things from getting, even when they're talking about really hard hitting stuff, prevents it from getting too overwhelming. But I really enjoyed that, really recommend it. And then I also rewatched a favourite film of mine, which is called The Sound of Metal. And it's a 2019 film with Riz Ahmed. And he plays, he's amazing in this. He plays a drummer in like a hardcore metal band. He basically loses his hearing. And it's about how he learns to come to terms with it, integrates himself into a deaf community, obviously learns signing and all that kind of stuff. And it's if you haven't seen it, that's a really powerful, really, really good film.
I've not seen it, but I think I've heard of it and sort of it looked interesting.
That's me.
Okay, well, I think that's also caught up, so should we dive straight into this week's Casterole
episode 10?
It's gonna catch it.
Casterole with a twist, because we're not reviewing a film this week. We're not recasting a film at all, are we? We've decided for episode 10 we want to do something a bit different, and we're going to each pitch our own Pokemon movie.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, I can't wait for this one.
Yeah, now, so
we've all got varying degrees of knowledge and experience. That's the word I'm looking for with the Pokemon franchise. I think I'm probably the most delved in.
Yeah, you've caught the most.
I'm on it. I'm all the way up through. I think you kind of dived off quite early, didn't you?
I grew up and became an adult. I would say it's probably.
Well, you played Warhammer.
Yeah, but I mean.
There we go. Yeah, we did
Warhammer. Yeah, I'd say maybe that's like. Yeah, I sort of. For me, it's very much. Well, I tell you what, it was a very much sort of childhood memory thing until very recently. My kids and my wife have now become obsessed with collecting the current cards. So yeah, I feel like it's very like around the house. My boys, every time I come home, it's like my wife's ordered another pack in the post or something. I think there might be a bit of an issue here. Maybe we need to have words. And he's like, oh, Dad, you need to come and look at this powerful one we've got. So I'm constantly looking at like the new Pokemon and I'm feeling, you know, not necessarily nostalgia, but I'm a bit like, oh, God, this has moved on.
They're not as good as the originals.
Well, do you know what? And this, actually, I won't, no spoilers yet, but I feel like that's maybe influenced my pitch a little bit.
It's definitely influenced mine. So, I mean, I really liked playing. I never liked the game that, like, the cards or playing the card game.
Yeah, no, I'm not a card game person. My son's very big on the card, you know, when he's not playing the game, but he's like your kids collecting the cards, and you know, it's all about, oh, look how powerful this one is. Great.
yeah. But I did love playing the old Game Boy games. I remember getting the first one, Game Boy Color, like blew my mind. Mm. And then just when I stopped playing Game Boy, I stopped playing Pokemon, basically, was it?
Man, I sold my original Game Boy with Pokemon Red in like a car boot for probably like £2.50.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
that's madness. Because I was in recently, I was up in CAX, and in the window there was just a cartridge, not boxed, unboxed cartridge. I think it was of one of the Game Boy Advance games. I think it was Pokemon Ruby, maybe. £50 they wanted for that, for just the cartridge. For just the cartridge.
Didn't need to know that.
£50, and there was like a special Pikachu themed Game Boy Color, £150.
Wow.
Unboxed. Yes. Yeah. Console, no charger, nothing, just unbox, £150.
I had a little carry case, I had about 15 games.
Did you have the thing that made the screen bigger?
That was beyond my pocket money.
That was always the time to turn lights up now, James. Yeah, you wish. Light on, here we go.
Yeah, it was mental to not have a light in the screen.
I think I just pictured you looking exactly as you do now, but like 2 foot tall.
Fuck off, Mum.
Bold with a bit, you wish. Oi.
You fucking wish, man.
Just farted. Farted and playing Pokemon. So,
any of you jump in on the early games? I was a Pokemon Red guy.
Same.
Yeah, I had Red, and then, but Yellow was the one I remember.
Was Yellow the one where you got Pikachu?
Yeah, Yellow
was the one where you had to start with Pikachu.
And Red, you had to start. Could you choose?
Red, you could choose between the three, Bulbasaur, Squirtle, Charmander, whereas Yellow, you only had Pikachu. That was
what
your choice.
What's the difference between Red and Blue then?
There were same with every generation of the games. Each different version, but pairing, they will be specific, exclusive Pokemon to that game. It was to encourage like trading and things like that with your friends, and like certain Pokemon would only evolve via a trade as well. So it's just to encourage a lot of obviously social playing.
Even as you know your stuff here, showing off.
Well.
I've got a couple of questions that might determine the feasibility of my. The question number one is.
Yes.
Obviously, in the first game, there's like the first generation of Pokemon, right?
Yes.
And now there's Fatbows.
Yes.
How's that explained in like the background of the lore? Was it like all these Pokemons were just the ones we knew were around first and all the other new ones were always around, we just now discovered them? Or is it like
breeding?
Yeah, like, have they appeared?
I think you're giving them too much credit by saying that they've given it lore.
Right.
It's just very much just, there's a new game, we need a shitload more Pokemon to keep people coming back.
Okay.
So for every new region, there's just been, here's 100 new Pokemon.
Okay.
That are specific to this region.
I have a question as well, which is lore-wise, which might relate to my film.
Mm.
Is there, or can you, as a Pokemon,
be Michael
die?
Kane.
Be Michael Kane.
I was going to say,
To my knowledge, there is no such thing as death.
That's just as a kid's show.
Yes.
Right, the film I've made is a bit more...
Sam's got to do a rewrite.
To my knowledge, I know of no Pokemon that have been known to have died.
So they just go unconscious and then go...
Then you take them, they just go unconscious, you go, return, bring them back to the board, take them to the Pokemon Center... And then
are all Pokemon vegetarian?
What is your film?
No, that doesn't... I just thought about that, because, like, do Pokemon eat other Pokemon?
No.
I don't even think they eat, do they?
They do eat, but a lot of it's fruit.
A lot of
it's berries, but at the same time, in the most recent game, you can make them a sandwich.
Do they shit? That's what I want to know.
I mean, probably.
Does the Pikachu shit in the woods?
So, yeah, that's an interesting question. Are they a vegetarian? I'm going to say no, they're not.
No.
But they're certainly not carnivores.
Like, I could see a Charmander eating a Raticate.
Yeah, you probably could. On the slime, just flame it up. Yeah,
anyway, my film is going to be a bit more, like, gritty and real. Yeah.
So you're aiming for the Oscar win, Ian?
Not Oscar, but I feel like you know, like, it's going to have some actual jeopardy and some sad moments.
Yeah, so Pokemon Company, when you come for us, that's Sam that you're coming for. Okay, meet me and Nick. Nothing to do with this pitch.
I think if it's live action, you can get away with it.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, right.
And you have to be able to ground it more, I think. Otherwise, you're just floating in space.
My Pokemon are definitely not going to just say their own name.
Yeah, oh, really?
So you're taking the Detective Pikachu approach, you?
No, I'm not for shit, but...
Whoa!
Detective Pikachu is shit.
It is brilliant.
Right, everybody, this is what I'm saying. It is not...
It is brilliant. Yeah, but you've said yourself, you're not massive on the Pokemon.
I'm massive on a good film.
Yeah, but you put it into a Pokemon perspective, it's a good film.
How?
Because it's a good Pokemon film.
How? Right.
Well, there's very good representations of the Pokemon. I mean, it's a good representation of the Detective Pikachu source material.
To be fair, that scene where, like, all those, like, turtle things, like, lift up and, like, the whole, like, Earth is, like, moving around and the mountains are moving, that's kind of cool.
Sick. There's some weird Pokemon now, though.
Yeah. Oh, there are.
Like, I saw one in... It's card book. It just looked like a vacuum cleaner. Well, I swear, running out of ideas now. Someone sat in a studio, like, think of another one. Looks into the corner, like a vacuum cleaner. That could be a Pokemon. Yeah. Dorandel over there. That'll be a Pokemon. Dory. I call that one. Handley.
Right. Well, I guess we should get into it and start actually pitching some films.
So, who wants to go first? How many times are you putting Michael Caine into this film?
So, it's what you picture, right? That you're sat in the very posh kind of studio exec lounge, right? You've come in to pitch this movie. There's a lot of money on the card, potentially. You imagine you're in a skyscraper.
Almost unlimited budget.
So what I'm going to say, first of all, is I'm going to do for Pokemon what Deadpool did for superhero film.
Ooh, okay.
Which is
make them R-rated. You can make an R-rated one. Now, this wouldn't necessarily be R-rated. I think it's probably more like, in England, like a 15, you know? Right. It's not incredibly crazy. You're not going to see any Pokemon Willies, nothing like that. Yeah. But, it's a shame. Yeah. But it is going to have...
That's what fan fiction is for.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Reddit is for.
So, for this, I've leaned heavily into, like, the human cast. But, like, kind of talked about maybe the Pokemon that they would be affiliated with and kind of the journey they would go on.
Mm.
So, first thing I'm going to pitch is you're going to know exactly what this kind of movie is going to be by the first thing. Magnificent Seven. Seven Samurai. Rebel Moon, if you will. Okay?
You went there.
I went there. Okay. So, the whole thing of this one is going to be a collection of people to try and come and help protect a village or something, okay?
You're not just pitching Rebel Moon as...
I'm pitching Seven...
Pokemon.
I'm pitching Seven Samurai.
I'm hearing Pokemon Rebel Moon.
Rebel Pokemon.
If you mention Grey, I'm going to fucking lose my mind.
No, right, okay, so...
Rebel Moon, Charmander of Fire.
Professor Oak's laboratory in Pallet Town is attacked while Ash is there visiting, okay? The attack is led by Lieutenant Surge. Okay. Pokemon trainer.
I've got a question already.
Yeah.
Why is a gym leader from Viridian City leading an attack on Pallet Town?
It will become clear.
That's what I'm going to say a lot on every question.
Yeah. And he is looking for a rare Pokemon that he's heard that Oak has.
Mm-hmm.
Oak refuses to hand over the rare Pokemon, and Surge leaves, saying that he will be back in 1 week. And Oak better have his 8 bushels of grain.
You did not rebel Moonhouse.
And right. And so Serge says he will be back and he wants, he's given Oak 7 days to produce this rare Pokemon.
I don't know what I'm annoyed at more, that you're ruining Pokemon or Rebel Moon.
Right, so can we just, for a start, right? Okay, it's not a Rebel Moon. It's a Seven Samurai.
It's already better than Rebel Moon.
It is, thanks.
It's right. Definitely not, but you know.
So, Oak is injured. He gives Ash his Pikachu and tells him to go and look for trainers that will come and help defend Pallet Town.
Second question. Why is Ash being given his Pikachu?
Why is Ash given Pikachu in the first film, in the first game?
Because all the other three are taken.
Well, yeah. So in this, there aren't any others. There's just Pikachu.
It's a simple one. But surely Ash already has the Pikachu in this universe.
No, he doesn't.
He's a reimagining.
He's a reimagining.
Yeah.
He's there. He knows Oak. He's, like, helping him. He's, like, fascinated with Oak because he's heard he's, like, a legendary trainer or whatever. He wants to become a Pokemon master. So he's going there to learn how to do it. And Oak's like, take this Pikachu and go and get help. The Pikachu will, like, look after you. Is rather than, like, go and become a Pokemon master. Mm-hmm. It's like, go and find, like, heroes that will protect us, right?
No.
So Ash goes on the journey to find Pokemon trainers to help defend them. The first one that he encounters... Oh, well, I should say at this point, obviously, my Professor Oak...
Wait, these are Ash.
Well, Professor Oak...
I think do your pitch first, then do the casting.
All right, okay, we'll do that then. So he goes and he finds trainers. He finds Brock. He finds Misty. He finds Erica. He finds Koga. He finds Sabrina. And he finds Blaine. 7 trainers in total.
Yeah.
To come and help.
Are those real characters from the...
They are trainers from Pokemon Yellow.
Sick.
Black, Red, or Blue.
Okay.
From the first one. So he comes back with these trainers. They come back 2 days before Lieutenant Surge is due to attack again. And they discover that Surge is working for Giovanni.
Oh, I know he's a big bad guy.
He's a big bad guy.
Well, do we know the twist to Giovanni?
No, I don't.
So he is actually, allegedly, Ash's dad.
Oh,
he is allegedly Ash's dad.
No way, that's a great bit.
I will fact check myself. I'm fairly certain that is the lore behind Giovanni.
That doesn't come into this one, but it could come into the sequel. Right, okay.
What's the sequel? Scargiver?
It's called...
Okagiver.
Something else. I have set up for the sequel at the end, so everyone shut up.
Yeah.
Right, so they find Surge is working for Giovanni, who wants this rare Pokemon for himself. The heroes decide to launch a sneak attack to try and take out Giovanni and Surge before they can attack Oak, Professor Oak's laboratory slash town slash get the grain.
You're really not happy with this pitch, are you?
Somehow, Giovanni and Surge are ready for them and beat them back. But Brock manages to rescue an Onyx that was being mistreated by Giovanni.
Love it. Brock's Giovanni, Onyx. Like, yeah. They go together, don't they?
Brock loves his Onyx. That is how Brock gets his Onyx. And nice. His Onyx is very loyal to him because he rescued him and nursed him back to health and taught him to love again.
Was Brock, by any chance, being held on a planet by a fucking blacksmith?
Yes, he was.
And there's a scene where he has to ride the Onyx through the sky.
Giovanni says, I'll let you go free if you can ride this Onyx. Surge and Giovanni attack. There is a huge battle, and it turns out Koga is revealed as a traitor and is also working for Giovanni and Surge.
Such randomly.
Surge's Raichu...
Is Koga also Irish?
How could you do this to me?
Surge's Raichu kills a Bulbasaur, and mortally wounds Blaine, one of the trainers, before eventually being defeated by Pikachu. Because obviously, like, Raichu is, he's like an evolved version, and Pikachu shouldn't be able to beat him, but, you know, Pikachu's kick-ass.
Yeah.
Eventually, the good guys win. Surge and Giovanni are imprisoned, but Koga escapes with... but Koga escapes. With Blaine's last word, he gives him Ash his Charizard. So Ash now has Charizard. That's like a thing, they go together.
Yeah.
kind of annoyed you're skipping over the fact that Ash had a Charmander and then lovingly evolved it into the Charizard. But, you know,
yeah, I'm not going to bother with that. All right, so like these things can come into it, but I kind of, you know, within a film, you need to get to the sort of the big, cool, bad guy version. So some of them are like de-evolved version, like unevolved version. Some of them
you
are like
a montage, proper montage.
Exactly.
You're one to be complaining about plot.
Yes, yes. I've already got more explanation than anyway. So Oak survives, but is weak. So Sabrina offers to stay and help rebuild. So one of the trainers stays and becomes sort of the new head of the Pallet Town gym / laboratory. I don't really know how it works. It's a Pokemon. Erica, who was the one that had the Bulbasaur, is heartbroken over the death of her Blastoise, Bulbasaur. Fuck you, what did you
Glad to know you remember what you said.
Yeah, so Erica, heartbroken over the death of her Bulbasaur, vows never to battle again and walks off into the distance.
Ooh.
Ash, Brock and Misty set out after Koga for answers and to bring him to justice. Oak reveals...
You're creating a fucking three-part epic here or
something.
Yeah,
listen. Oak reveals that Pikachu is the rare Pokemon that they wanted. Now, I know Pikachu isn't rare, but Pikachu
this
is a big...
Ash's Pikachu is canonically special.
Exactly, right? So there we are. See, I knew some lore. So, Pikachu is rare Pokemon, and he tells Ash to keep him. So Ash now has a lovely Charizard and a Pikachu. In the post-credits scene...
They're all walking off in the distance, and then Pikachu pokes his head up above the reeds and he's got like antlers on.
Exactly.
Is that happening by chance?
Yes. And he turns the camera and goes,
Scargiver.
No, right, anyway. So in the post credit scene, we see Koga reporting back to two shadowy figures about the failure of the mission to capture Pikachu. This is Team Rocket.
So hang on, you're only introducing them in a post credit scene?
Yes.
You got to leave people wondering.
They're the big bad that you're not going to see until the next film.
Strong.
We hear Meowth saying, I told you it wasn't going to work.
Oh, I like that.
And he is voiced by Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Nice. He's great for Meowth, actually. Yeah,
I think that's about the only good thing I liked about your pitch, was the ending.
Well, let's hear the rest of the cast.
Right, so, they left me wanting more.
So... the cast is Professor Oak would be Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
Gotta have Jackie Chan.
Yes.
Right. Oh. Ash
yeah.
would be Mena Massoud. Now, he is best known for the live action Aladdin. He's Aladdin.
Okay.
But he's also in a new one called The Sacrifice Game, which looks really interesting, which is a horror film about this, like, people that are going around killing people at Christmas. Looks really interesting.
Sounds really cheerful.
Now, I have to say that, to be perfectly honest, Ash, Brock and Misty could have been three main ones from One Piece. Like in terms of the actors, they would fit really well.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Brock, with his Onyx, I've gone with Jacob Elordi, who is the guy from Saltburn.
Okay,
he's like the beautiful, tall guy.
The one in the bath?
Yes, yes.
The one who dies?
Yes.
Spoilers.
I can't remember what his name is. But yes, so he's the guy from Soul.
Yeah, what is his name? Fuck, yeah. Irrelevant, but yeah.
Irrelevant. So Misty, who has Blastoids, not Bulbasaur. Misty has Blastoids. That's like the main one that she uses, because I thought it'd be funny. She's like a little girl and she's got this massive, like, hulking.
She's got Blastoids?
Yeah.
Yeah, that checked.
She's got cream for it. She is played by Emily Rudd, who is... Nami.
There's a few names that are going to be reoccurring in my hair.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
I mean, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Right, she's good.
So then Erica, who is the one who Bulbasaur is killed and she walks off into distance, is played by Stephanie Hsu, who is from Everything Now All at Once. She's like the daughter, the big bad.
Absolutely amazing.
She's really good. Koga, who I thought main one could be Arbok, because obviously that's kind of like a snake, Insidious, but also Arbok is really linked with Team Rocket.
Yeah.
So there's like a little thing there.
Ooh,
He played by Simu Liu, who's from Ten Rings and Barbie.
Cool.
Don't know Barbie? You know Barbie?
I know Barbie. I don't know who you're on. I don't know.
The Asian Ken.
Okay, right, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Sabrina, she... I'll say the name of the actress and then the Pokemon.
Okay.
Sabrina will be played by Aubrey Plaza.
Yes.
and her Pokemon will be an Abra.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be like talking to each other. who is from Parks and Recreation and various other things.
Yeah.
And Blaine, who is, as we've already mentioned, has this Charizard who ends up dying, will be played by Keihu Kwan from Everything Now All at Once mm-hmm. and The Goonies and Loki. Yeah, Loki. And so this will be against Giovanni, who will have two Nidoking bodyguards either side of him.
I like
there's big purple guys.
There's a big purple guys.
I like it.
And a captured Onyx, obviously, at the beginning.
Yeah.
Will be played by... Now, I really can't pronounce this guy's last name. Even tried to look at some interviews, and no one bloody says it. David Datsmish... Datsmalik...
Don't look at it.
He's got a new film coming out called Late Night with the Devil. Suicide Squad, he plays the polka dot man.
Okay.
That's
yeah.
Nashik, maybe? That's
yeah. He's in loads of stuff and he's really good.
Okay, cool.
And then Lieutenant Surge, who rides on a Zapdos into battle.
Of course he does. Well, hang on. Right. You've got Lieutenant Surge coming for a rare Pokemon.
He's riding
in on a legendary bird.
Yeah.
Why the fuck does he want the rare Pokemon when he's got a legendary bird?
Because he's been told to go and get it.
He always wants more as well.
Yeah, when he has a legendary bird.
I believe the Catrines has got to collect more, not I'm happy with this Zapdos. And he has the Raichu that causes so much destruction. And he is played by Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah.
Nice. Like a...
Yes, in full Street Fighter mode.
In full Street Fighter mode.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's it. So it's a Magnificent Seven with Pokemon trainers. Now, everyone, just forget about my Pokemon trainers.
All the other stuff.
Would, like, go with them.
Yeah.
But, you know, just like in Rebel Moon, the Irish guy knows where they live, and so they go and say, we don't like the Imperium. And then everyone just goes, oh, all right, fuck it. So, yeah, that's my pitch.
Do you know what, Sam? The best thing I can say about that pitch is Netflix will have it.
They fucking would as well.
But, like, I do think there's, like, right, because I have to say, I don't know loads about it, and it's really difficult. Like, I was looking at, like, some of the, like, cartoons and some of the clips from the films and stuff, and I'm like, there really isn't, like, there's not, like, one story you can kind of take and adapt. You kind of and do whatever. So I just like the idea of, like, trying to get all of the characters from that game that I loved into it. Like, all of them. And when I added them up, I was like, oh, hang on, there's, like, seven there and, like, two bad guys. And, like, it would be, like, Magnificent Seven kind of thing. Mm. And I really like the idea that, like, actually, like, a Pokemon dies and, like, the trainer's, like, heartbroken and, like, walks away from everything. And then, like, what happens? Like, I don't imagine that, like, the... Blaine dies from, like, Ryushu, like, shooting with lightning. But, like, maybe he, like, shoots a bit of the building. The lightning comes off and, like, crashes down on him kind of thing. Like, these battles with, like, elemental forces, I feel like there should be some actual fucking jeopardy and some injuries. And
they're that big and,
exactly.
and violent, like, essentially.
I send dragon at you and you're like, oh, fucking...
I've got to ask, mate.
Yeah.
Do you feel maybe that by... that frames this. That by making this a gritty, you said probably Certificate 15 film, purely from a financial perspective, do you have any concern that you are maybe missing
the key demographic?
Yes. No, because are you telling me that no, like, 12-year-old is ever watching 15?
Well, that's so very true. Yeah.
No, but they're certainly not going to be watching it in the cinema.
I mean, probably go straight to streaming.
For Pokemon, your main demographic probably isn't 12, it's probably 6.
Really? I think there's a lot of, like, men that haven't grown up.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
But, like,
I'm just saying, the main demographic is probably 6, probably from 6 to about 15.
And to be perfectly honest, like, we say that about Pokemon, but, like, there's death in Disney films. Like, loads of it. There's, like, death and horror. Like, it probably wouldn't have, like, you could have the death in it. It wouldn't be a 15. It'd probably be, like, a PG if you just didn't see any blood when they died.
Mm-hmm.
And they just closed their eyes. Like,
yeah,
I just think there needs to be Like, when you look at this stuff, if you make a film A to B and there's a start and an end, you can't just have, oh, they go back in their Pokeball. It's not enough. It's not enough, like...
Well, there's got to be stakes.
Yeah, there's got to be stakes.
Mm.
Rare Pikachu stakes.
Peppercorn sauce.
Yeah. You
know. So what you said about 12-year-olds not getting into cinema to watch it, it's just got me picturing, like, just like teenagers working at cinema, trying to ID 12-year-olds coming into watching 15. Oh, mate, you've got any ID?
We've lived that life.
Have you got ID?
We've lived that life. I mean, they come up with the parent. Oh, an ID. Yeah, he's my kid. I don't care.
Yeah.
Get me, if you're his parent, show me his fucking ID.
Yeah, no, I'm saying he's allowed in this 15. Yeah, I'm saying legally he's not, so yeah. He's not coming in.
Well, I want to see your manager.
Of course, you'd have been that guy.
I've even had it. I've been in a position where I've had the manager pull me out of the box office because I'm refusing to sell a ticket to a father and his son who's telling me, no, he's 15, to then go to be told I've got to apologise and then just selling the ticket. I'm going, are you fucking kidding me?
We were at the same cinema. I always remember being very well backed up by my manager.
Oh, certainly fucking wasn't. Man,
yeah, to be fair, this kid he once said to had like a full beard. Like,
yeah, no, this kid, you could tell he was not.
Well, I mean, how do you follow that? There's only one way. There's only one way to follow it. Jim, is over to you.
Right. I've not written as many notes as Sam.
I would worry.
Too much.
My pitch isn't as long. Never is. But I'm sure you're going to have questions as we go. So, mine. I feel I'm not just ripping off of Rebel Moon, the greatness that it is. So mine is set 20 years after Ash has won the Pokemon Masters Tournament. So
is that what he does?
The ending of Ash's story is that he wins, the finally becomes Pokemon Master, wins the top, big one. He is the champion. So it's 20 years after that.
Is he still 10?
What, in 20 years' time? Yeah. I should fucking hope not. not with who I've cast him as.
Okay.
So Ash isn't. So Professor Oak is long gone. Ash is now the professor, Professor Ketchum. It is now his job to send the people, you know, the kids, the trainers on their way with their first Pokemon from Pallet Town off on their journey to replicate him, you know, to try and follow in his footsteps.
Can I just stop you for one second, sir? I only realised while doing this that Ash had a second name and that it was Ketchum, as in, gotta catch 'em all. Like, how lazy is that writing? Gotta catch 'em all. What's Ash's last name?
His second name? What's the theme tune again?
Sorry, Jimmy Carroll. This is where we meet our new protagonist, Willow.
Oh. Willow.
She awakes on the day that she receives her first Pokemon, only to discover that Ash is missing and his lab has been destroyed and turned upside down.
She needs 7 friends, doesn't
she? She certainly doesn't. All the Pokemons have been stolen except for one that's tucked away on a shelf. It's revealed. This is revealed to be the work of a newly reformed Team Rocket, who have ditched the dead weight. No longer will they be blithering idiots like Jesse and James and Meowth. They will be nothing but contracted killers, but not really killers. They're just, you know, badasses.
Contracted badasses.
Yeah. Their plan is to use Ash's research to awaken a long-forgotten Pokemon that could bring about the end of the world.
Wasn't it for Team Rocket?
The end of the world.
They're looking to use. They want to use Ash's research to revive a long-forgotten Pokemon that will bring about the end of the world.
I think this is actually Rocket's actual thing anyway. Like, that said, actually their, like, thing in the show. I don't know why people want to end the world.
Yeah, who wants to end the world? They're just nihilists. Okay, sorry.
But carry on. What's the Pokemon on the shelf?
Well, hang on, I'm getting there, right? Willow takes it upon herself to head out to bring Ash back. Her journey, of course, is not going to be without its challenges, as she will be chased down by Team Rocket. As unbeknownst to her, she possesses the key ingredient that is needed for Team Rocket's plan. Very basic story. I'm not going for Oscar. I'm not going
for. I like it. It's
Pokemon. That's what you need. Just 1, 2, 3. Bosh, done.
Wait, it's about 10 times more plot already than Rebel Moon. So I'll give full credit.
being into 20 years and I've gone 20 years, I decided that Willow is also going to be that kind of age. She is going to be played by Emily Rudd.
Yes!
So you'll be leading Ash, Professor Ketchum, Ash. He is going to be played by none other than Daniel Radcliffe.
Yes!
I'm always on for a
Radcliffe. The head of this newly reformed Team Rocket is going to be played by Josh Hutchinson. Because I've heard a lot of good reviews of his performance in Beekeeper as a villain. So I thought, let him have another one. He can be the villain in this one. Yeah. Let him go for it. Team Rocket, they are going to be played by... The two members of Team Rocket that are going to be persistently chasing down are going to be played by... Now, I picked these two specifically because they were both in the same film together. And I know I think they will play off well again. They will play off well against each other. And that is Chloe Moretz and Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, liking that. Okay. Liking that.
So Willow will be... Her Pokemon companion will be a Cubone. Because I think Cubone is very underrated. I love him.
Yeah. That little dinosaur guy.
Yeah, the Cubone, there's actually a really, really sad fan theory around this.
Yep.
And that is the Cubone, the skull on his head is actually the skull of a long dead Charizard. And that the Cubone is actually a Charmander whose flame has gone out. Mm-hmm. And they wear the skull of...
See, I heard a theory, but it was just that the skull they wear is their dead mother.
Oh. Yeah. So there's a very sad theory, like fan theories surrounding Cubone. And yeah, if you delve into those theories, you're gonna get depressed.
Yeah,
he is. So I love Cubone as a Pokemon. He was always one that was in my team because I think he's very underrated.
Mm.
So that's her Pokemon. Team Rocket, you're gonna have a Venomoth and a Hypno.
Nice.
I think they're two. You know, so I haven't given the boss any Pokemon because I haven't really worked out where he's going to come into the story. Because I don't know if he's going to come... I don't really know. I haven't really worked him into it yet.
Could he have two Nidoking bodyguards?
He could have two Nidokings, I mean, but probably not. Probably not.
Or he lends them out?
Yeah, you know. Giovanni don't need him anymore. He's a
gem. But yeah, I do think there'll be a lot of nice little opportunities for cameos in this. So, Goldberg's definitely in there. He's going to be a little cameo as a fighting trainer.
Yes.
That he just meets someone online and he just could set up on Willem like, little girl.
Steady on.
You're next.
No, so he's that hired muscle.
Yeah, set up on
that last impression was definitely better than the first.
I mean, I wasn't really going for an impression of being there. I was just throwing a voice on. You know what I mean? Never know. Goldberg might try and put a voice on.
I'm just happy that Goldberg's in.
Yeah. So he's going to have a Machoke. That's his Pokemon, just yep. Machoke goes yep. with him.
Nice.
I've got another little cameo for Lena Headey.
Lena
Headey,
yeah.
Game of Thrones, first episode.
Yes.
She's got a little cameo and she's going to have she could be like a little grass type trainer. She'll be accompanied by a Victory Bell and an Ivysaur.
Ooh, yeah, Victory Bell works.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's not a lot of little...
Is the Victory Bell going to be ringing? Just going, shave.
I can picture him. That's a great pick. I don't know why. And I love the fact that you've gone for like the underdog Pokemon as well.
Yeah.
How great is that?
I didn't really want to go throwing out the big names like straight away. You know, yeah. You've got to be in there.
He's throwing shade at me there.
It's fine to go easy. It's fine to have the easy option.
No, it's okay to take the easy way out, you know. There's no shame in that.
It's fine to throw, because they're the names that are going to draw people in. Oh,
Oh my God! Is that Blastoise dead?
Yeah. I just like some of the underappreciated Pokemon that don't tend to get the love that they deserve in the games. So it's a very simple pitch.
What happens at the end?
I don't know.
You've pitched the beginning of a film.
I have.
Right.
So, I mean, that's where I'm going with it.
That's as far as you got.
I haven't really got a full pitch. I've just got a short premise, the setting, the possibilities then open. You know, obviously she'll be on her journey. She will meet some companions that will join her on this mission that want to protect her and whatever it is that she has on her that team rocket are after. And yeah, it probably will culminate in a base of some sort with a battle against Team Rocket, Giovanni, whatever the big boss is going to be called. It might be Giovanni because he's probably dead because it's 20 years in the future. So, you know, it's the Pokemon franchise. If there's the possibilities are endless, you can just create whole new characters. So, yeah.
I kind of wanted more.
I felt disappointed in myself that I don't have more, but I kind of didn't want to be going through detail. I was conscious of time on the podcast. I thought I don't want to be sat for half hour blithering on about this fucking film.
I like
and then get to the end and then you all go, I've got about a million questions I need to ask you about everything, and I go, okay.
Well, I feel like as a person, probably the soundest understanding of the world. There's not much that we would know to question A.
So I just made that with a simple premise to begin with. If you felt you needed to question me and get it fleshed out, absolutely.
The only thing I want to know is the thing that they're looking for to destroy the world. Did you say it was a Pokemon?
No.
Is it Pokemon?
I was thinking it would be like a literally might like this Willow would have like a stone on her and like a necklace.
That's like the key, maybe.
Yeah, it's required to.
But like, I feel like it needs to be a stone that opens a chamber that has a fucking Pokemon in it, right?
Yeah, that would be the stone would get and this Pokemon could even be a brand new Pokemon.
Yeah,
it doesn't need to be a known Pokemon.
It'd be like an unbelievably powerful. What's that Viking myth about the serpent that eats the world or something? Or whatever that thing's, yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's sneaking in the earth kind of thing.
So it doesn't need to be a known Pokemon. It doesn't necessarily have to be, we want to reawaken Mewtwo or Mew and merge them together. This can just be a brand new Pokemon that the franchise up to go, we can sell this. Bang, fucking Wormamon. You know, Earth Eater. Fucking have it.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Maybe the Earth is a Pokemon. Turtles all the way down.
Amazing.
Blastoise all the way down. Loads of Blastoise.
That's a possibility.
I like that. I think I like that more than my
Rebel Moon reimagining. Yeah, of course it will. You know, she will. She's not going to travel from Pallet Town to the base. It'll take her around to the different cities. That's where she'll meet, you know, a lot of these cameos will get come in, you know. She'll get set upon on the roads and then she'll meet some companions.
Who dies?
Well, no one, because it's a Pokemon film. So there will be no death, I'm sorry, Sam.
Okay.
I like it. I think you've done well there, mate.
Yeah.
I'd want more, and take that as a compliment.
Yeah. Nick, you're up.
Here we go. Oh, yeah, he already teased us by saying that you need to be on cue for some impressions.
I hope I can do it. Do you have some impressions, please, sir?
I'm waiting with anticipation as to what this could be.
You'll know when the time comes, okay?
All right.
Now, gentlemen, I've really enjoyed both of your pitches. Sadly, it's a shame they won't be successful this evening.
Oh. Is Netflix going to pick yours?
You're going to be showering me with your studio exec dollars.
Will it be a golden shower?
It could be covering me in studio glory. Don't ever cover anyone in studio glory, please.
I mean, unless, of course, you're paid a handsome amount of money and you consent.
Yeah, I guess if that...
The timestamp for that, by the way, is 1:11, just so you know where the cut is. So actually, my pitch is kind of is almost borrowing a bit from each of yours. Actually, there's a little bit of kind of slightly well,
they do say
grit and realism.
Borrowing from greatness.
You do, right? Well, that's from the bottom of the barrel in this case. Mine is also set in the future. And I guess kind of what I was going for is kind of a reflection of maybe like my feelings about Pokemon and stuff. I'm maybe feeling like a little bit old now, and like that adult feeling of when you feel like things are maybe passing you by. So I've tried to kind of wrap all of that up, and literally I've got a handful of notes. So this is the first time like that I'm vocalizing music. It all come out very confusing. But let's go. Right. Some of this will be like a scene talk through. I won't make it too long. And I'm going to introduce the characters as they appear.
Oh. Okay.
So here we go. Right. Opening scene. camera's panning. It's panning across a room, firstly down from up towards the ceiling, across the wall. And there's lots of...
I actually did think the opening scene would be shot like the Game Boy game. So it'd be top down from the prison room.
Oh, that's great.
And then you'd follow it down the stairs and suddenly it would pan down into the...
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, yeah, so I love that. Kind of like
that's what mine does.
Kind of like how kind of like with John Wick 4, I think they film a certain scene where it kind of goes above him and it kind of almost looks like he's from like the Hotline Miami games.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he's kind of like, that's how I imagine like the opening of this film would be, like, you know, she wakes up in the bed, it's top-down view of the room, so it's almost like a carbon copy
of
the Game Boy games, how they all open, bosh, top-down view, downstairs, and then it pans down, it films a normal. Yeah. Sorry to mention that, but yeah.
Big nostalgia hit there.
Yeah, I thought that'd go down really well.
That would be very nice, yeah.
So it's panning down past lots of framed pictures, right, and trophies and stuff like that, and all the pictures are like Ash, as young Ash, right? Yeah. You know, be champion this, champion that, whatever. Completed the Pokédex.
he did complete the Pokédex.
Completed Pokémon.
He got them all.
He's holding the Game Boy, he's completed Pokémon. And then as it's panning further down, right, you see Pikachu is like jumping across the screen, doing bits and pieces, right? Just normal, classic-looking Pikachu, right? Busy.
Classic.
He's kind of got little rubber gloves on, he's cleaning.
Classic Pikachu.
And as it's panning down further and further, you see that, like, there's apartments to stake, right? There's, like, beer cans everywhere and that kind of thing.
Pikachu is like scooping
all the cans up, right? It pans out eventually and an alarm starts going off and a hand like reaches out of the duvet. Oh, God damn it, right? Trying to set the alarm off. Pikachu's eventually like, Pika! And all that shit, waking him up. Ash pokes his head up and then it's there that we see that Ash is played by none other than Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah. Fuck off.
He's grown up.
That's
right?
Great shit. I can't do an Adam Sandler impression.
Just wait for it. Which I know on the face of it is like, just you wait, right? You see that this is actually, for so many reasons, the perfect casting choice. And actually, right, as terrible as he's been in a lot of stuff,
he's a good actor.
He's been great, yeah. Have you seen the films like...
Have you
seen Uncut Gems? That's like a gritty crime thriller, right? A modern one.
He's unbelievable in it. Have you seen Spaceman?
No, but I've heard good things.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's obviously just been typecast. Like,
I mean, he enjoys doing that comedy stuff.
Yes.
And I mean,
he enjoys doing it, but he's not funny.
But he is. I quite like Little Nicky. I quite like The Waterboy. Like,
I loved Little Nicky growing up.
He's not funny. He tries to be funny.
He's fine, but the point is, he's like Will Ferrell. A good actor.
He's like Will Ferrell, thinks he's funny, but he's not.
Yeah, Will Ferrell's a good actor.
Well, yeah.
Right, anyway, bear with me.
Adam Sandler's Pikachu.
Right, no, he's getting up, he's getting ready. There's a montage that he's basically late for something, right? He gets into, finally arrives late with Pikachu, the Pallet Town. He's still in Pallet Town, right?
Of course,
back to his roots, obviously, right? The Pallet Town Pokécon, which is like the Comic-Con, right, in the Pokémon universe. And he's basically, my whole idea is that, like, he, all his fame and kind of glory has passed him by. Mm-hmm. He's kind of washed up now a little bit. He's attending this Pokécon thing, and you kind of get the idea that, like, as he's going in, he gets his normal stall, and he's like, oh, it's going to be good. And then, like, oh, Ash, we've moved you down to the vintage section now. Like, you're with, like, all of... And he's basically feeling more and more like an antique. He's got this tiny queue of people, like, asking him, like all the... Only, like, the hardcore nerds, right? They're like, oh, Ash, when you did this thing, like, what happened there? And he's looking at, like, all the new, younger celebrity trainers and that kind of thing, right? Looks across the room. He's been really jaded by it. And he looks over, and there's Professor Oak, who's also at the Pokécon. He's also been moved to, like, the vintage section. But he's loving it. He's taking time to take photos with them. He's really, really happy. And this is where we learn that Professor Oak is played by Christopher Walken.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's what I wanted.
That's it. Yeah. I caught them all. Twice.
So he's like, and he's in a similar position. He's like, yeah, back when I was like the leading Pokemon expert and that kind of thing. So that's our premise, right? It's like he's feeling kind of washed up. Anyway, so he travels home. He's on the bus traveling home. And all these kids, right? All these youngsters. And they've all got these new Pokemon, which I'm trying to get the emphasis between like the old school and the new. Everyone's got their new Pokemon who we don't recognize, like one of the thousands of new ones. They're all a lot on their phones and they're all on, like, Pokégram, right? Live streaming, like, they've got all these followers and stuff. So it's all setting up the idea that Ash feels really jaded. The next morning, he wakes up. He's expecting Pikachu to wake him up, and he's later than usual for his next Pokecon, which is basically how he's making his living. Basically, he realises that Pikachu's gone. He's like, where the hell is Pikachu? He's been Pokenapped. And the only clue is a little bit of paper that says, like, From City. So he figures out, basically, that he needs to get to Saffron City. But he needs Pokemon. He's not going to do much without Pokemon. Goes to see Professor Oak, Christopher Walken, and he's like, what have you got? And he's like, I woke up and basically I don't have any new generation Pokemon left because all the cool kids, they're all gone. And obviously he's not like a renowned professor, he's just got a small stock, whatever. And all the old generation one Pokemon are also missing. But I do have, a bit like your pitch, Jim, I've got one left on the shelf. You can take it. So he takes it, opens it up, right? And this is why my pitch, if I do say so myself, is so genius. It's introducing a brand new Pokemon. And I suppose it can be called Snarfly Plum. And it basically just looks
Jim, is Snarfly Plum taken? Is there already a Snarfly Plum?
Snarfly Plum is very available.
Okay.
And it basically looks like a cucumber with goggly eyes. Okay. Are we cool with that? So he persuades.
Have any of you seen Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs too?
No. Yes.
The little gherkins. Yes.
Right, looks like one of the gherkins from Cloudy, but different enough that we can get away with it.
Yeah, with contractually different enough.
Whatever the artists need to do, they can change it. So together they agree that they need to travel to Saffron City. So the next scene, there's going to be like a whole sequence on the train. I assume there's a train going to Saffron City.
Yeah, Saffron City 12.
They have to walk everywhere. No more can train to get there. Right, on the train is where they bump into Misty. Grown-up Misty, right?
Grown-up Misty.
It's like, oh, my God, Ash, how are you? Played by Kate Winslet.
Oh, that's...
Okay.
I'm not sure you're going to say Jennifer Aniston for some reason, but Kate Winslet is Kate Winslet.
So we meet Misty on the train, played by Kate Winslet. And she's there because her... Did you always have a fucking pigeon? Has Misty got a pigeon?
No, Misty's the water Pokemon trainer.
Oh, okay.
So she was the one. She always had a Staryu and a Starmie.
Oh, cool. I thought
and she later got a Goldeen, I think it was. Okay. And Psyduck.
And that's why I put her with a Blastoise.
You are thinking Bulbasaur. Of a Pidgey, which is one that Ash did catch.
Ah, okay.
Got a Pidgeot.
So in that case,
he had all three. Did he have all three? Yeah, I think he might have had all. I think he did them all the way through. Sorry.
So her water Pokemon's missing, right? So suddenly it's like, something's going on here. Oh my God, all these different Generation 1 Pokemon have gone missing. What the hell is going on? And that's when we have that there's also like another juxtaposition where Misty's kind of way of moving into kind of being older, maybe not kind of, her life's not the same as it used to be, is that she's still trying to cling on. A bit like Ash, but she's like really obsessed with still doing Instagram, like Pokegram stuff, right?
She's trying to... being in the crowd, in the
aging not gracefully,
right? And she's trying to friend up with like the young hip ones, and they're like a bit embarrassed, so that stuff's going on, right? Anyway, right, they meet Misty on the train, they realize that the same thing's going on, they've all had their Generation 1 Pokemon Pokenapped. Then there's like a whole chase scene where he thinks on the train he's spotted Pikachu, there's like an awesome train sequence. That's when we're introduced to Team Rocket. When we initially meet Team Rocket, it's like, oh, here we go. This is like the new young Team Rocket, right? Who we're introduced to as Timothée Chalamet.
Oh, yeah.
No, I got that wrong. Fuck. Timothée Chalamet.
Why are you saying it like that?
Just say that I get it right.
Just say Timothée Chalamet.
Otherwise, I have to say Timothée. I've got to go Timothée Chalamet. Otherwise, I will just say Timothée Chalamet.
Then just say Timothée Chalamet.
Because that's not his name.
But everyone else fucking just says Timothy.
Anyway. He will appreciate when he listens to his podcast, Timothy.
Someone's
we are attempting
effort.
To say your name.
Exactly. I love it. Anyway, it's Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, fuck's
sake. And.
See, maybe you should just pick people you can actually pronounce their names. Maybe this is what we're learning here about you, is that you need to stop picking people that you can't pronounce.
And the his partner is. Who's the girl from Wednesday?
Oh, Jenny.
Jenny Ortega.
Ortega. And Jenny Ortega. Jennifer Ortega. Right, so we think, like, they turn up, like, oh, like, we're here to stop you or something, like, get in the way. And it makes you think that they're there preventing them from catching up with Pikachu, getting them back with their Pokemon. Then suddenly turn up the original Team Rocket, right? And they're like, ignore these two kids, they're on work experience. And the original Team Rocket is played by Alan Rickman and Joanna Lumley.
That's amazing.
What? Right, so they're like a bit old, disgruntled, jaded as well.
A bit old and disgruntled.
Get out of here, Timothy.
1 6 feet under.
And the other's Alan Rickman.
Right. I can't tell you, all week I've been trying to learn Alan Rickman. It's like the hardest.
Potter, you will hand over that Pikachu. Yes.
So
oh, I can't remember. Do you know, I watched the Team Rocket, the famous like line they did, you know, their little catchphrase thing.
Yeah.
And now I can't remember any of it for the life of me.
Prepare for trouble, make it double. Prepare protect for devastation, trouble. Unite all peoples within our nation. Mm. So that's the people of truth and love, defend our reach from the stars above. Jesse, James, Team Rocket, blast off to speed of light, surrender now, prepare to fight. Meowth, that's right. That one. Yeah.
That might be the first thing he's ever done that's impressed me.
Impressed.
Yeah,
I want to die.
That was it. That was what I was going to call my second was going to be called Pokemon Speed of Light.
Nice.
Because blast off at the speed of light.
Right, anyway. We're knee-deep.
Alan Rickman and who? Jennifer Saunders?
Joanna Lumley. Yeah, from Fab Patsy.
Yeah.
Right. So they're both kind of washed out.
I mean, you can see her with the big pink hair.
Right, exactly. They're kind of, you know, just like the rest of our cast has shown that the present has passed them by. Do you know what I mean? Like the future, the new generation.
Well, to be fair, the present passed Joanna Lumley by a long time ago.
Right, anyway. Yeah, so basically, like, they tell, like, the work experience kids to get back in the car. Wait in the car for it, and that's the last we see of them. And then there's a chase scene, and basically, like, you don't see Pikachu again. Like, they get away with some of the other glimpses of the first-gen Pokemon. We realise that it's not Team Rocket that have been doing this. They've been looking for Meowth and their other Pokemon, fucking Ekans and the crossing one, right?
Ekans
has also been taken. So now it's like the whole gang's together. Then cut to a separate montage. It's Meowth and Pikachu, and you're glimpsing in this like cage or detention center all the other first gen Pokemon. And basically, Meowth is talking to Pikachu about the fact that all these new Pokemon, they've been left behind. It's time to forget about it. Like, we've been forgotten by our owners, all that kind of stuff. I mean, if you can't say anything else, I've got a theme going here, right?
I like it. I like the fact that Meowth is there so that you can cut this other storyline and you can still have somebody talking.
You get the exposition through Meowth, who, by the way, is voiced by Steve Buscemi.
Oh, yes.
Right?
But do you know what? You have won this. You have fucking.
Well, hang on. We'll let the people on Twitter decide this, right?
No, don't let people on Twitter decide it. Nick, you've won this. This is amazing.
Right. They get off the train, they get to Staffan City, they receive like this encoded message, basically tells them they have to enter the tournament. And they've only got one Pokemon at this time. They've only got. Who have they got, James? Which Pokemon has Ash got now?
Oh, this new abomination that you've heard.
Yeah.
Wasn't it called a Fucky Gyms?
I believe it was the Gen 9 Pokemon Revaroom.
Oh, come on. Ishnarfly Club.
Ishnarfly Club. Come on.
So basically, the next whole sort of scenes are like Adam Sandler Ash battling his way through the tournament to try and discover what's happened.
With a cucumber with googly eyes. Remember?
You say it like some like Pokemon aren't just like a nubbin in the earth. Like
you put some respect on Diglett.
No, I mean, come on though. Like, there's something wrong with the fucking magnet with eyes. Like, a cucumber with eyes is fine.
I suggest you start putting some respect on the names of Caterpie and Weedle.
And whilst he's battling through the tournament, basically, like, Kate Winslet Misty, Christopher Walken Oak, and Alan Rickman and Joanna Lumley Rocket are just in the audience watching. So it's going to cut back to them a lot. But
would anyone like a soda? I'm going to the bar.
Anyway, I've only got one guest trainer in, like one of the bosses in that tournament, and that is Philip Seymour Hoffman with a drowsy.
Oh,
right. Because that's a Gen 1 Pokemon, and they're like, what did yours not get kidnapped? And he'll be like, he was asleep. So you get through the whole tournament. It finally reveals that the end boss of the tournament, no one saw this coming, is Brock. Played by Adam Driver.
Oh.
Hello, come on, just keeps getting better.
That is a good cat.
Why is he significantly younger than the rest?
Oh, well, you can age him, whatever.
Yeah, but he's about the same age. He's a little bit younger than, like, Adam Sandler and stuff.
He must be, like, what, late 40s, early 40s? Anyway, who cares? Like, I brought back Alan Rickman. I don't want to be too worried about age and stuff.
Have you ever seen him on Saturday Night Live when he plays that really old guy? Anyway, is it, yeah, you could definitely age.
But no, I saw the, I love the one that he did around the Star Wars time where he was like the undercover boss.
Yeah, that was good.
I was like, oh, he's a really good comedic actor. I didn't realise. And basically Brock, something's not quite right. You can kind of, they can almost tell straight away that like he's under possession or something. And his Pokemon is this sort of monstrosity where they somehow managed to amalgamate and morph. Like, it's basically like all the Gen 1 Pokemon into like this monstrosity, like Pokemon that's defeating everyone. And it's like, how can you possibly? And basically, it's because he's persuaded all those Pokemons, Montage will do this, I'm sure, of like, what's the point? You know, you're no longer relevant. Like, the only way to be relevant again is if you can succumb to this experiment and we'll morph you into a single Pokemon and you can like get your anger out at the world that's forgotten about you.
What have you done to Brock? What have you done to Brock? This pervy Pokemon nutritionist. That was his goal. He wanted to be like the top nutritionist, man. You've done
He was like a gym guy, was he?
Yeah, he was the first gym.
Right?
He was the first gym, but his goal was to be a Pokemon nutritionist.
This is why it's so good, because it's all the old cast rediscovering themselves and where they are now. Anyway, so big fight. Schnafly Plum manages to like injure this monstrosity enough that Pikachu manages to like detach from it, breaks the spell, and so Brock is like Brock again. But in Pikachu breaking free, it basically sets this monstrosity, what's left of the monstrosity Pokemon, free from like the tournament. And basically, the end scene is like it rampaging through Saffron City. And all the rest of them are like teaming up to try and stop it. So maybe they get their like one Pokemon back as well. So it's like the whole gang, including Rocket, against the monstrosity Pokemon, managed to take it out. And then like the last scene is we realised basically it was Giovanni who was like pulling all the strings, making that happen to try to create this monstrosity. Even Team Rocket didn't know about it. And he's played by, obviously with a bit of hair and makeup, Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's my pitch.
Oh,
actually, it's not my pitch. At the very, very end, they basically defeat him and stuff. And there's that end point where everyone's like reassessing where they are now. And I think maybe like Misty or Sol Brock are like, oh, we should put back together the old gang. And Adam Sandler's obviously got Pikachu back. I was partly like, does Pikachu need to die in this? Maybe like sacrifices it,
right?
Or something.
Death.
Because that would pave the way for the new generation. But either that could happen, or like at the end, they're saying, oh, let's get back on the road, like let's get out there. You know, we're still relevant. And then Adam Sandler Ash sees like a young kid like trying to get like one of the smashing new Pokemons, like maybe, I don't know how it works, he's not got enough pocket money, or fuck knows. But and basically, he's like...
You battle the Pokemon and you throw a Pokeball.
Okay.
How do you catch a Pokemon if you don't have a Pokemon to be given?
Just chuck a ball, is it?
Well, they get given a Pokemon at the beginning of their journey by that region's professor or the school that they're in. Or
So maybe there's like a kid coming out of the Pokemon Center crying, like he's upset he didn't get one or something. And basically Adam Sandler's like, looks at Schnafly Plum. Schnafly Plum's like, Schnafly. He's like nods, like do it, Schnafly Plum, and Schnafly Plum goes off with the boy, and that's like passing of the torch, isn't it?
No.
That's like we've played our part. It's okay. It's okay to be where we are now. We don't have to be relevant anymore. Let's pass the torch.
Okay.
I hate that was so good.
Can I add one post credit scene?
Okay.
It's exactly the same as the opening scene. But Adam Sandler's cleaning up for Pikachu and he's relaxing.
Love it. He's knackered.
Yeah, he's like knackered. And
so I hate that pitch was so good.
It was so good.
He comes with nothing written down and he just goes, yeah, watch this, motherfuckers.
No notes.
I mean, I've got a few notes on the casting. There's a lot of that I hate, but you know.
I love
In general, I hate that was so good. I hate it. I hate that was so good.
Can we have?
Never question me again.
Can we have like the young Team Rocket? We see them once more, and they get like crushed by the like the monsters, these rampages or something.
They're still in the car.
Yeah,
they're still in the car, like on their phones or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When are they going to let us?
Oh my God! Cool. There's loads of Pokemon coming this way.
As always, we like to end our show with a little segment that we like to call Real Talk. This is the part of the show where we read out your questions or your recastings, which you can send to us via the email castorolpod@gmail.com, or of course you can contact us over on Twitter/X, which is via the handle @castorolpod. Like Tom has once again done. Yes, hi Tom.
French Tom,
he might be French, I don't know.
What's he opened his email with?
He's not French. I know, Tom.
Tom, in if that's your real name.
You have been revealed, Tom.
We've heard all Tom.
I'm not going to use your real name, because that's what you want. You want us to tell your real name. So, Tom, what's your question?
Tom has said, hi, Jim. So, fuck you too. Just, hi, Jim.
He set up a discourse.
I'm going to talk to him about this on Thursday when I see him at work.
Hi, Jim. So, you two are just, fuck off them two. Yeah, clearly, I like you two. Hi, Jim. No, this is titled Starship Troopers. Obviously, he tends to email in after our most recent episode. Hi, Jim. Rewatched this last night, but listened to the podcast the other day, so forgot who you guys suggested. Well, I mean, you weren't paying enough attention to Tom. God, the other two are blind. The aliens are, well, they're bad, but nowhere near as bad as any space scene. Wow. And any other CGI effect, those massive bugs look like a cartoon. Anywho, his castings...
Oh, hang on a minute.
I've talked to him about this.
Have you?
Yeah.
Did you tell him it was a 1986 film?
Yeah.
You said you wanted me to read the whole email before.
Wait, I did say that.
Would you,
I'm dead against it.
Anywho, his castings. Rico, he was thinking Taron Egerton. However, he feels that Taron looks too intelligent to be Rico. So, and you'll like this one, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, that's his
Ace show. Is Joe Magnello? Magnello?
Yes.
Is he from Magic Mike, that one?
I don't know.
No,
I think he has a lot of range, which Ace is a bit goofy sometimes. Sometimes a mate, scared, etc. Carl, he is casting as John Krasinski. Can do that vacant state, which I think... good for a psychic guy.
Yeah, I like that.
Mr. Razchek. Yeah, whatever. Jason Momoa, he already looks battle-worn. Cast him in 20 years' time, so he's aged sufficiently.
I'm just going to age Momoa. We'll
yeah.
Age him.
Carmen Zoe Deschanel. It's kind of a crap role for anyone, I feel. Haha. Dizzy, strong, go-getting woman. So it has to be Lagurtha from Vikings, Catherine Winnock, or Michelle Rodriguez. Sergeant Zim is Pedro Pascal.
Oh,
quite like that.
Yeah.
I feel like he's starting to get a bit everywhere now, isn't he?
Oh, well,
he is.
He's starting to be in everything.
He definitely shouldn't be the new Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, of course he shouldn't. He has a few points to rant at. He agrees with Ace. Who needs to learn how to throw a fucking knife? Why is it so easy for people to do flips in the future?
Right, hang on. 2 seconds.
More advanced, mate, that's why. He just laughs at the training accident scene. Ibanez plots in a new course, which is more efficient, and the computer agrees. If it knows it's more efficient, why did it not automatically calculate that in the first place?
Just waiting.
The likelihood
that's how computers work.
Finding its time.
The likelihood of coming into path with an asteroid is tiny. Tiny, tiny. You can fly through the asteroid belt and not hit anything. Space is full of space. NASA doesn't even plot a course through the asteroid belt, as the chances of hitting an asteroid even there... are insignificantly small. Also, the asteroid would have destroyed the world. It would have either taken millions of years to reach us or be travelling so fast it would annihilate the whole planet.
I love it, Tom Rand.
They had air support the whole time. They have nukes to just destroy the planet. Wouldn't even have to leave Earth. I get the whole queen thing, but doesn't make sense for the first massacre. Carmen's shoulder gets magically better quickly. Yes, it does. You're right. The cartoon series better. I'll call this a popcorn film not to be taken seriously. Just enjoy it for what it is. Well, I'm glad there's some smart people among us, Tom. Question.
Hang on.
Question. What book would you like to see a film of? Mine would be The Heroes of Joe Abercrombie. It's a fantasy setting. It follows different characters. The majority of the book covers 3 days, the build-up to a war, the war, and a bit of the aftermath. It's very good. There's a lot to unpack there.
Firstly, Tom, I know you are, because secretly I work with you. And we've already discussed the fact of why you're wrong about Starship Troopers, along with Jim.
Wrong? Is he wrong, or is he just... I got another way of thinking, because, you know, there is more one way of thinking.
No.
See, now I've got an argument for you, Sam. You've probably thrown out that the director and his stand and stuff, right? If I do a drawing of a bunny rabbit and tell you it's a dog, is it a dog? No, I have purposely drew a bunny.
And you're now telling me you tried to draw a dog? I believe you. I believe that you tried to draw a dog.
Sometimes my kids present me with a drawing and say, Dad, what do you think about this? And I go, it's very nice. What is it? Satire doesn't always mean spoof. It doesn't always mean
just fine
comedy.
I just think if, for me, he...
There was a little break there because we argued about Starship Troopers for 25 minutes. And
have we reached consensus?
Have we changed your opinion?
No.
No. Have you changed our opinion?
No.
So there it is. Tom, thanks for the question.
We haven't answered this question.
Oh, fuck. What was his question?
His question is, what book would you like to see a film of?
Oh, well, I haven't read the book that he's done.
I've not read those, but I have read the first Joe Abercrombie trilogy, which I think is called The Blade Itself. Well, that's the first book. And I really enjoyed that. I think that would make a really, really great gritty fantasy film. So there you go. Straight in on that.
It would be... There is a popular little game series out there called Gears of War.
There are
some phenomenal...
Is that a book?
There are some phenomenal novels that are, like, not good, that expand the lore of the world pre-Emergence Day and post-Emergence Day, and I think the first one, Anvil Gate, would be a phenomenal war film. So Anvil Gate was a pivotal excursion in the war between the two sides, and with the Cog obviously ultimately taking Anvil Gate. I believe it's been a long time since I've read the fucking book. But so Anvil Gate is known in the lore as a pivotal part of this war, and I think that book would be brilliant.
I'd love to see a Gears of War film.
Yeah, I think it would please the fans, because you're not going off the games, you're going off the books, and you can have a bit more fun with that.
As this episode showed our foray into gaming recast, maybe we should do a Gears of War episode, because I would love to see a Gears of War.
I'll have to go back and play it. I think I played the first one.
I played the first three. It got a bit weird after the first three, but first three is solid. Mm. They're really good. Yeah. Mine would be, so I read a series of books when I was in university by Ian Irvin called The View from the Mirror. And there are four books, and the first one's called A Shadow on the Glass. Then there's The Tower on the Rift, Dark is the Moon, and The Way Between the Worlds. And they're, I mean, granted, they are basically like Lord of the Rings kind of thing. But there's some like really interesting like elements in them where there's this really beautiful settings. They like describe this beautiful like library, this like university that she's learning at. Then at one point they go to like the mountains, and these bridges and like structures are made out of what look like sort of cobweb in its glass.
Sounds
just awesome. It's really, really beautiful stuff.
Mm.
And I think that would make, but yeah, I just remember, I haven't read them for...
They wouldn't get the audience because people would just compare them to Lord of the Rings.
I think that's the thing. Yeah.
I think they would. I think now more than ever, I think particularly what we're seeing with like streaming releases and stuff, I think they seem to be more open to, and especially like massive budgets and things like that, they're open to taking these fantastical worlds that probably also for budgetary reasons and stuff, just weren't, it wasn't possible to bring it to the screen. And it feels like that's more possible than ever now. So,
Could happen. Good. I haven't read them for like 20 years. I've got them kicking around here somewhere.
Well, thank you very much, Tom, for your question and throwing that grenade in.
And may you never email us again, Tom.
Yeah.
No, keep emailing it.
Pick a new pseudonym so we don't know it's you.
Yeah. Guten Tag, gentlemen. In his
Now, do keep emailing in, Tom. And again, tell all your friends, please. Yeah. Anyway, if you would like to be like Tom and have your email read out, don't forget you can contact us via email at casterolpod@gmail.com or on socials at casterolpod. Again, don't forget to like and subscribe on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever it is that you get your podcast from. And until next time, it's a bye from me.
It's a bye from me.
And it's bye from me.
Casterole, casterole.